This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 784 for property ID 379-11163. And the property is owned by Mark and Yekaterina Burris. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Mark here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Just let you know that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And I see that you bought this property in... September of 21, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So I'll turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I'm not sure if you guys got the documentation that I sent over. I sent over some photos, and I believe you guys should have also received some bids and other documentation like that as to the condition of the house.
We do not have that information.
We don't have any bids.
You don't have any, okay.
We have pictures, from, I don't know, who's this, Redfin or somebody?
I uploaded quite a few things. I'm sorry to say this, but I was having a lot of trouble with the site when I was doing going through this process, and I had to end up sending emails directly to the county, you guys, to BOE, because the site, every single time I would upload it, it would say, like, start over. And so I did that multiple times. And so I ended up emailing them, and they're like, oh, yeah, we got everything, whoever emailed me back. I could check in here in just a second. But if needed, I can present to you any of those bids. I mean, I assume you would want to have those. That was part of my appeal here. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, did you see the assessor's response? Have you read the assessor's response?
He said something about a cost to cure.
Right, and then talked about the remodel. I think the remodeling and the ADU and.
Yeah. So what I'm here today to say is that I don't feel like the remodel should be considered as an upgrade at all. Over the past 2 years, we have had the sewer back up into the downstairs bathtub because it was broken. We have had it assessed for, we have rusty galvanized pipes, even though they told us they replaced all of the piping, plumbing. That's not true. We have a bid for replacing the pipes. The roof has leaked, into an outlet. The chimney is currently still leaking, and, the floors throughout the place, they refinished them, but did it all improperly. And they're sagging throughout the house. The actual, I hope you guys have pictures of all of these things, of the
pictures that you sent.
Okay. So of like the ceiling where the work is falling, the finish is ruined in the ceiling. The garage is sinking as well, and it's currently propped up by a post. The front door leaks, the garage door leaks, literally. They built a chicken coop and want us to live in it. To add to all of this, the person who sold us the house is suing us in order to for us to forfeit some of the land, about 2,000 square feet of the backyard. So that's if, you know, and currently the judge is on his side with that. So that would be another about $33,000 of lost value there. So
they're suing you because of what? Something beeped right in the middle of it.
It's all right. It's a long and drawn out story, but essentially he tried to sell the property twice to me and to the neighbor, or a portion of it to the neighbor. And he only sold it to me, but he's suing me in order for me to give up the land to the neighbor. And the judge thinks that that would be the right thing to do. So I'm saying that that would also affect the value of the house in the range of about $33,000. And I just did that based off of about, it looks online, I took 13,000 square feet divided by the 199,000 and then applied that to the 2,000 square foot. So in total, I have bids. I thought I uploaded them, but apparently that didn't happen. In total, there is about $176,000 worth of work needing to be done to repair the roof, the all of the leaking throughout the house, the floors, and the plumbing, and the siding as well, and the chimney. And then there's about $33,000 of land that is going to be taken away, it sounds like.
I'm going to stop for a moment. I have none of that information from the assessor, nor do I have I have just like two pages that show some damage. Other than that, I have nothing else. I have nothing from the assessor.
You don't even have an assessor's response, you mean?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I have nothing from the assessor.
I have the assessor's response.
Yeah,
I have assessor's response for what it's worth. But,
yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get any of the cost to cure any of the bids or any of that.
So the assessor sent something back that I saw that he talked about he'd be willing to apply cost to cure. And then I responded to someone else and was messaging, like, what does that all mean? How do we pursue that? And they said, bring it up here. So I'm sorry that you guys don't have all the documentation that I intended for you to have.
You know what you can do? You can appeal to the state and then supply them with every bid you've gotten for every repair. Pictures. If you give them any comparables, don't use any assessed values. Use recent sales, but it might be hard to find comps with the condition you say your home is in.
But they're
going to want some kind of comparable sales. So.
I see. Yeah, I could try to find that. So you're saying that today is just a complete waste of everyone's time because you guys don't have the documentation you need?
Well, it would certainly be helpful if we had it. I mean, we could do more for you if we had more than just the few pictures that we have. We have to have something to put a dollar, you know, to base whatever kind of adjustment we're going to make. We have to have numbers to look at to justify that, and we don't have any of that.
Can I? I mean, I know that I'm not supposed to.
I'm
looking through our email as far back as November, and I see a back and forth between the assessor's office, Michelle, and yourself, and it looks like you were trying to sign their agreement as a no. I have the Laserfish submission open, and I do see a lot of attachments, but they're all photos as far as I can tell. I see the Redfin pages as well that we included, but I don't see any bids as far as I can see.
Does your system accept PDFs?
It would, yes.
Oh. Well, I don't know why they wouldn't be in there. I'm sorry. Apparently I didn't get them in there or something. Because they're all in PDFs. Is there a photo, at least, of someone's clipboard? Is that in there?
Hold on. So
one of the guys just gave me a clipboard and with his business card.
Yeah, so your submission includes a lot of these photos, which are the photos you included, as well as some of them are those Redfin pages, and that's what we received. And that's all I have. I don't see a bid. I mean, it's possible if you sent that to the assessor's office and not the Board of Equalization, they don't automatically send that to us. You have to submit that to us as evidence, so it's possible. I do see you were communicating at one point with Jason Arbery. If you sent something to him,
I think that must have been it. I could go and look, but that's probably what happened.
Can you show him a picture of the comparable property sheet that he can fill out next time rather than giving us Redfin? Or if you appeal it to the state, do you have one you can show him?
Yeah.
If you look at the online packet, Mark, it's a comparable property sheet. And your home would be listed in the left-hand column with all the details, and then you list the comps. And you can even list comps that are valued at the 700-some thousand and then compare what yours doesn't have to what these do have to justify your lower value. There you go. Mm-hmm. So rather than giving us Redfin forms, if you use this, you can kind of see on here. I wouldn't worry about the adjustment part of it because unless you're a certified appraiser, it's pretty hard to know how to adjust for how much to adjust for bedrooms and bathrooms and all that.
Yeah.
But you could use those for your comparable sales. Make sure they're comparable sales, not assessed values.
Uh-huh.
And then you can appeal to the state and make sure then you include all the bids. And if you appeal to us next year, be sure you include all the bids, even if you have to just snail mail it to us. Just kind of a drag, but hopefully.
Yeah. So, I mean, the assessor's office, they would have everything that I sent to them. And no one's here from the assessor's office, apparently.
If you read the instructions for filing an appeal, your obligation is to provide the Board of Equalization and the assessor's office with copies of everything. Both of them. They're not obligated. We're not obligated to give the assessor anything. And the assessor's not obligated to give us anything. So you have to send it to both of us.
I understand that. As I believe Allison was pointing out, I was shown there was problems with the uploading system. And I don't understand how I could have necessarily verified with you guys that you got everything.
Well, you can always just call Allison and ask her if she's gotten your submissions or whoever answers the phone for next time.
I see.
Hopefully the deadline won't have passed when you do that.
I would suggest that you you appeal this to the state and include all your stuff in the packet. They'll tell you exactly what your time frame is and everything that you need to submit and everything like that.
Okay. All right.
And their appeal system is just like this. It's all. I guess it's. Do you know, Allison? Is it just phone, or do they go?
Their phone, unless you request a video call.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Then I guess that's what I will need to do in the circumstances. So. Okay.
Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves the 2022 petition for petition number 816 for property ID 10463600. The property is owned by Mikolai Carr. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present from the appellant. The property was purchased for $100,000 in June 2021, and the assessor's evidence included a cover letter recommending the assessed value be reduced to $99,999. I will turn it back over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one decision based on information available, any questions?
No questions. You're all garbly, but we heard you.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 788 for property ID 2664020000. The property is owned by Karen Eckert. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one here from the assessor's office, but we do have Karen Eckert and Sandy Laycock here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Both of you respond?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Thank you. In your packet, one of the things I wanted to start out with is I had information on the 2019. That's when the computer did not kick out that all this was in the Ag 20. And 2019, it was discovered they're talking with the assessor's office. So they changed the valuation on the land. In 2019, it was, they valued the land, the value was $157,000. And then after the computer generated it, or got the error fixed there, the land value was $44,000. That was for the land only. So that is not included in Karen's information there, the 2019. So looking at that, the one thing now, this 1 acre is in an Act 20, and that's treated differently from any of the other land. So they changed the value, but the value of the homes have always stayed right there instead of going along with the value of the land. The one thing I wanted to emphasize, we did the letter. You have a letter that shows it's basically a summary letter, and I was going to follow that. So this year in 2023, we did the legal lot determination to see what her 1 acre was, and it was determined that it is not a legal lot; it's a tax lot only. So we just wanted a sort of a foundation of it to figure that out. But the main emphasis here is the depreciation to a mobile home. This mobile home is 18 years old, but when they first structure them, as everyone knows, a manufactured home is built only for basically meeting the minimum requirements, having to look really good when it goes out of the gate. And then once it's been used for a while, it just totally depreciates very fast. And unless you're constantly repairing it, you're going to contend with a poor quality. And one of the factors in a manufactured home too, after 10 years, Foremost Insurance is the only insurance that insures manufactured homes after 10 years. And the majority of the banks now are no longer doing loans on manufactured homes because of that. The problem we've got there's a lot of manufactured homes out there that have deteriorated, but because they are far from being a stick built home. But when you first look at it, you think, whoa, this is really neat, you know, but it's the quality there. But for Karen, her son, he's very large, he's 300 pounds, but when he has a meltdown, he's getting better at that, but he jumps up and down, and it goes right through it into the subflooring. So all the subflooring has to be repaired. That sort of shows the quality of the material. And if you don't keep up on top of that, the value just goes way, way down. So the other thing is you have a paper there about the Pacific County, and I've shared that before. But what they've done there, they do not allow any manufactured home over the age of 5 years to come into their county because of the valuation of that. Unless it goes into a mobile home park, then the restrictions aren't there. But to put it out on any kind of land or lot, it has to be newer than 5 years. One thing that this year we looked at, last year, we talked to the Board of Equalization, the assessor's office, and they came up with an agreement. We came up with a modified agreement, and they valued it at, they valued the house at $65,000. And then, so we sort of compromised with that and thought, we went with that, but which was, the decision to be made about that. But anyway, the thing that the appraiser of the Golden West, we went with J.D. Powers, but they only extend back 5 years. So if it's 5 years old, that's the value that they put on it. So it's really not a true one, but it does show the depreciation of a manufactured home. So by looking at that, if that house had to be sold, you would have to move it off the land because it's not a legal lot. So you have to actually sell the house. And with that, we went with the value that they put down to sell it and move it. The value would be $45,690. So we did not put in all the repairs with that. But if you took the repairs that need to be done, that was in your packet, and there were pictures, you had the pictures of the condition of the windows and the flooring, the kitchen, the plumbing, and the master bedroom. All that came to $28,000 to fix it. And then we didn't include the roof in it. But now, with all this rain that's been happening, with that major rain, the patch job didn't hold. So the roof at $15,000 has to be repaired too. So if we added all that together for the repairs, it's like we're looking like $43,870, which would bring it, pretty much not worth a lot. But to sell it though, we use the value to move it. I don't think we'd ever get that value if someone came to move it. But we felt that would be a compromise between all this, because the condition is very poor, and all the repairs to be done. The manufactured home, the depreciation of the manufactured home. So somehow we got to get through with this. I mean, we come back each year, so. Hopefully that sums it up. I try to talk really fast. Karen, do you
No, he's not at all.
Are there?
No, I think I have enough information.
Yeah, I have no questions.
Nor do I.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 786 for property ID 18633000. And the property is owned by Kathleen and Keith Harris. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Kathleen here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. just let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay.
So tell us whatever you want to.
I presented my three comparables and just feel that mine is being assessed as at what it could be, not what it's being used at. And the best example is my next door neighbor, who his name is what's his name? Brent. It doesn't matter. So that's my only concern, that I would just like to be taxed like the three comparables that I sent in, instead of being its potential, instead of what it's being used as now.
You're adjacent to some major building developments out there?
Yes.
What the assessor does, if you're in a zone that's subject to building, like being next to a major development, that they value your property as if it were built on, as opposed to being lived in. And they compare the two values, and whichever is the highest is what they use. They call it the highest and best use of the property. And they're valuing your property as best use as being a developable piece of property where they could buy it, and they would likely raise the house and put in a development there. And that's how they would value it, because their obligation is to value property at the highest and best use of the property. So if it's subject to development by doing that, that's how they would value the property. And you're in that zone that's being developed, so that's what they've done to your property.
I'm Scott, her oldest son, and I helped her put our case together.
Yeah. Time out. You have to raise your hand and be sworn in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
So what she was trying to say is this property that borders her to the north, it's zoned the same way, R10. And his property is assessed at $345,000, I believe, for the property. Same exact zoning. He's actually got a little more land than my mom does. She's got a little less than 5 acres.
Is that the one that's Richard and Shireen Lean?
No.
It's Brent and Sheila. Houston.
Are they one of the ones that you presented?
Yes.
In your case?
Which one are they? You said they're your neighbor. Is it one?
I looked at the property in North Haven. They have a huge, big house on there that's valued at over $1 million.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so that's why I tried to explain to you that they value the property at the highest and best use, and that is if they take the property and develop it, how much can they get out of it? And that's one value. And if you have the property that's already developed into a home like that, and that's another value, and then they use the highest of those two, and they have a huge home of over $1 million, so their property in total is valued more than yours, because they have that huge house on there.
Okay. So, okay, I guess I see what you're getting at. I looked around, so some of the other comparables that we had, the comparables that we used of the comparable property with an older house and a and developable property were a little bit further than the assessed ones that we use in comparison, but close, within a mile, there's several properties like what you're saying, and I suppose I understand where you're coming from, but they all seem to be, our issue with it is it just feels like you are, or the assessor is maybe taking advantage a little bit of an older person, because they're all, you can see they're probably an older person that lives in these homes, and the land will eventually become developed. I understand that. But in the meantime, it's somebody that's trying to live here, and they valued the home down to zero here, which is what they've done on the other homes, and raised the land up to a very high amount, even though there's a property next to it, with maybe not, so on the south side of my mom's place, there's a home of the same vintage, but on a quarter acre lot, and it's assessed the way that I feel that this one should be. But I see what you're saying, that the getting the most bang for their buck, but her taxes are $9,000 a year, and eventually the county's going to make a lot of money on this when it does get developed, but I don't feel it's very fair to do that to an older person at this point in their life.
I don't disagree with you, anything you said at all. Unfortunately, that's the way the law is written, that the assessor is obligated to value the property at its highest and best use. And right now, the highest and best use is to scrape up all the houses and buildings and develop it into a major development. That's all I can tell you. That's the way the law is written. And unfortunately, it hits a lot of people that have a little bit of property that wants to just continue to live out their life on that property. It happens. We see it more often than not.
Yeah, it's really too bad.
When I moved in here, that was just big open fields where all those houses are today, and we thought, oh, this is our corner of the world now, and then they develop it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it catches up with you. There's not much we can do about it. That's the way the law's written. There are some laws that are on the books that aren't fair.
This is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you had a house and just a small lot or a quarter of an acre or something like that, and the property became valuable, you're still getting assessed out of your house and home, because the values are going up so high these days that the property tax become unbearable.
Yes.
I don't have any questions on it.
You guys have anything else to add to that? I mean, that's what the situation is, and unfortunately, we can't do much about that.
Well, that's what I was afraid of, but we thought we'd give it a try because.
I don't blame you.
It is unfair. I mean,
but,
you know, I'm not going to benefit from when it sells, probably, because I plan on living here till I can't anymore. So I guess it just is what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing if you ask me.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, we thought we'd give it a try for what it was worth. I just think that when they come in and tax something like this, it should be for its usage right now, not for what its potential is.
Right. I know. I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 787 for property ID 19883605. And the property is owned by Matthew and Kimberly Hoffman. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Matthew here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I have no further questions. Thank you. Appreciate each of you affording me the chance to discuss this with you all. I guess I'll just jump right into Exhibit A, the fact sheet, rather. The additional information that I have is that to the left-hand side of the highlighted box is the property that we're here to discuss. It is a subdivision that's about 4.5 or 5 years old, I think, and it's called the Jesse Hollow Subdivision. When that subdivision was developed, Tappany Underground did all the work for that subdivision, and I had met with Lance Tappany. And at the time, he was the superintendent of that job site, and he told me that the sewer was designed for only the 48 houses, and that it didn't have the capacity to tie in to that centerpiece of property that we're discussing. And then he went on to say that the closest sewer main would be at 124th Street, which is to the bottom of the or below the yellow highlighted property, and. That it's a high-pressure main there, and it would require, to tie into that, it would require a pump lift station that, at the time, this was a few years ago, he said would cost about $250,000, and that it wasn't feasible in his option. And then he also said that it would require a sewer easement through the property that's below this property highlighted. That didn't exist. There was no utility or sewer easement in that piece of property. So that's really the call out I had for that I wanted to share for Exhibit A. Exhibit B. I submitted the last year. This is the second time I've appealed. This was last year's appeal decision. I don't really have anything else to add to that, but I was asked to provide that. And then Exhibit C is the notice of value. And so as a result of last year's meeting or hearing, I was afforded the opportunity to have the decision in my favor. But the most recent assessed value is $891,000, which is 242%. Over last year's awarded value, so I just wanted to kind of highlight that. The property to the above the property in question on Exhibit A and below has been in my wife's family's for 77 years, and the property above it is where our house is, and then the property below it is where her grandparents kind of settled there, and both of those. Both of those property values were about 5.5% to 6.5% as a comparison increased over prior year. For Exhibit E, when I sent this in, because I had to be send it in advance with 21 calendar days excluding weekends and holidays, I put the assessor's notes as Exhibit E, but I didn't receive any notes from the assessor's office, but I wanted to just kind of state that in case I did so. But there were no notes that I received from the assessor's office or the assessor. I think that that's probably all I have, unless you have any questions. But I'm not an expert at this. I apologize. But I think that's kind of what I wanted to share.
What about Exhibit D?
Oh, yeah, Exhibit D. Thank you for getting me back on track. Exhibit D was a random offer to purchase the property, and the price offer I think was around $96,000, and that's awful low, even, you know, I believe. But the reason I thought it might be a value to share is, you know, typically, you know, when they send offers, they want to send like a, you know, lowball it whatnot. But to me, if the developer that had sent the letter, or the builder that had sent the letter, you know, thought that it was worth, you know, like $900,000 or $890,000, that it seemed to me that they would offer like, you know, $400,000 or $500,000. But that was just my thoughts I wanted to share with you all.
Good.
I have a question for you. You stated that the sewer is in question, a long ways away, needing lift station, this and that, everything. I think we really would like to see a letter or determination, more than just a verbal, as to maybe those issues like sewer, maybe public water, how far away it is that it's not there, it's not available now for development, because we know that in a market transaction, the purchaser is going to be very concerned about that, would take that into consideration. So, but I think we need to be able to see that information versus just accepting a verbal on it. So it would be a good idea to get a note from the county and from the sewer people telling you that it's where it is in availability-wise, the distance, this type of thing, so that we can have that to work with.
But so is that something that you need me to follow up on immediately for this, for a follow-up to this hearing?
I
think we would need something. We just don't have anything that gives us a real basis to hang on to other than your report, which I'm not denying, but that's hardly good evidence for us to use.
Yeah, for future appeals. Get the note or the letter.
Okay. Well, would it be possible, do you all have access, or did you receive any information from the assessor's office? Because to me...
No.
Okay. So you'd like that for future appeals?
To appeal again, I'd like to see that type of information.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For joining
us. So you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 778 for property ID 116-09-0000, and the property is owned by JCTSK LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The appellant's evidence included an appraisal performed by Stephen Smith indicating a value of $750,000 as of September 2023. And the assessor's evidence included 5 sales, a cover letter recommending the assess, and a cover letter recommending the assessed value be reduced to $770,000. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there is no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No question.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves our late file submissions to the Clark County Board of Equalization. The first one we have is submitted by Karen Levin. Did she put a property ID somewhere? Nope, she didn't. All right, for our property, we'll consider the property ID in a minute. The street address is 7012 Northeast 156th Place. She used the good cause request form. She stated that she had postal problems. The city of Vancouver has not registered property as a valid address. Oh, she's saying her home doesn't receive mail. It's not a valid address. I've complained at least 10 times. Still a work in progress. My mail gets returned. This form was returned and had to request again. Also, I have never had to request a valuation determination before from previous properties. A lot to figure out. And she was using the mail reason, which is, just so it's on the record, death, deadline, sorry, advice. Oh, yep, here we go. Number E. The taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of a delay or loss related to the delivery of the petition by the Postal Service. The taxpayer must be able to provide documentation from the Postal Service. And then to state for you all, that statement that said, my mail gets returned, this form was returned, we did send out her late filing form, and it was returned to sender the first time it was sent out.
Okay.
Yes, that meets the criteria. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, Levin is okay. Next, we have a request for reconvene for Clayton McCoon. He is using reconvening code 3, which states, in an arm's-length transaction, a bona fide purchaser or contract buyer acquired interest in the property after July 1st, but on or before December 31st of the assessment year, and the sales price was less than 90% of the assessed value. This is for property ID 214-900-000. He states, we believe the value is actually much lower than the sales price after doing work to understand the extent of mold damage in the home. Attached doc should support this, and he is including his closing statement, which I'll show you, as well as a service agreement for buyer remediation. The home has extensive mold damage and report of the mold testing. But what you care about is our closing statement here, which is, it looks like, 816-671.
What do they value him at?
Let's see. I think he, I'm hoping he included that as well, but we can look it up if not. It's taking forever. This is mold report. He did not. All right, let me pull it up. Sorry about that.
Joys of home ownership.
Yeah, mold is never a good thing. All right, so his property is currently assessed at 944,979. So the percentage we're looking at is 86%.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. That one's a yes. And then our final one is a good cause request form from Lisa Maddox, Kevin Maddox, and Carmen Maddox. Each property is owned by a different person. The property IDs are 98606-0723, 98606-0721, 98606-0722. She initially stated, hello, when we received the notice of value forms, we did not realize these were the forms we were supposed to submit, so we waited for our property tax statements and thought that we had until July to submit our appeal. Sorry, please reconsider our case. And when the forms were explained to them, the late file form, she also stated that she wanted to add she's out of town a lot and did not realize this form notice of value was directly related to our property taxes going up. Only when we opened our property statements did we realize they had gone up. And that's what she has submitted, and she was using late filing form that she was out of town for 15 days or more.
Well, does that document it?
I mean, that's all I received. So,
I mean, she doesn't even say what time she's out of town. She just says she travels a lot.
Yeah.
That is what I received, yes.
Well, that sounds like it doesn't meet the criteria then.
Yeah, I don't...
I'd question it.
I don't think it meets the criteria.
Normally they will at least state, I was gone from June 10th to, even if they don't give us an airline ticket or something, they tell us why they were gone and how many, you know, what days it was.
Yes. Before she sent that email, when I first received the reconvene form, I did say, if you're out of town a lot, that might be relevant if you're not available during a filing period. The reasons on the form are the only reasons the board can open a late case according to the Department of Revenue, and they'll make a decision with the information you provide to them. They will read the information you provide on the record and see if it meets the criteria of the form. we're overseen by the Department of Revenue and must follow their laws in this scenario. So that's what I gave her.
So she just parroted back, I'm out of town a lot, and didn't give any details.
I think it falls a little short of the reasoning.
Okay. All right. So we're going to say that one cannot be considered.
Yep.
Correct.
All righty. I will take care of those, and we'll... That's all the late files I have for today.
And I use the word...
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 780 for property ID 26150900. The property is owned by Chelsea and Dustin Martin. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Chelsea here for the appellant. If you could now please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I say I swear.
Okay, thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Yeah, no questions. So I explain over here?
Yep.
Okay. So we recently purchased this property and built a home last year. We moved in last April. And we do have a bank loan, and so we had an official appraisal done through the bank, and my appeal is to have the property value equal the appraisal that was done through the bank, which I provided that information.
The house was completely completed when this was done, wasn't it?
Yeah, we moved in, it's about a year now, I think in June of last year.
Which would have been June of 23, because the appraisal dated 3/22.
Right, so they did a pre-appraisal when we got the original construction loan, and then they did an updated appraisal when they rolled it over to a 30-year mortgage. So I provided both of those, and they confirmed the original value.
Okay, I've reviewed the appraisal. I don't have any other questions on it. Looks good.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So they gave you the same appraisal as of the date you moved in then?
Roughly? Yeah. Yeah, the bank required the same appraiser to come back as it was finished and see if there was any changes to the value, and they just agreed that the original value was...
So both of them, one was in March of 22 and the other one was in May of 23. Okay.
Correct. Got it.
I have no further questions.
Nope. Nor do I.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. That's it. That was easy.
That's it.
If you appeal next year, I think you can include that second appraisal, the one done in 3/23.
Okay.
You can include that. Next
must
year.
Be within 2 years. Is
yeah. Yeah, okay. If you need to appeal.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 785 for property ID 100186960. The property is owned by Karen Stanley. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Jason Arbery and Karen Reisenauer here for the assessor's office, and we have Karen Stanley here for the appellant. If we could please raise your right hand to be sworn in, starting with Karen Stanley.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Karen Reisenauer?
Is muted?
Yeah, you heard the same thing, right?
I do. Jason's testifying now.
Jason. Okay. Jason?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you, Karen Stanley, to further explain your appeal. And we are limited for time this morning, so please be as brief as possible.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I can't breathe very well this morning. So should I go over my letter that I sent March 15th, or can I assume that you've all read it this morning?
We've read
the stuff, but you should just point out the things that you want us to focus on.
Okay. Well, what I did originally was I wanted to find out how many houses had sold at all. Unfortunately, there are, like, no houses over 2 million that have sold. I found one that had sold, but finding comps for this house is nearly impossible. If we could find comps, we probably would have had a market value that would have sold. And I've been taught by some of the best realtors how to do comps, and they're constantly telling me you can't do anything under 6,000 square feet to compare to your house because it's too large, and you can't do homes on acreage. So I've used those limiters because it's been consistent from all the realtors, and I've worked with several over the 10 years that I've tried to sell this house. And I provided a printout of all the homes in Lacamas Shores because I wanted to – I mean, the truth is you can't find the perfect comp, so you have to kind of decide what you want to go with. So I went with Lacamas Shores and tried to do an adjuster and adjustments to those. And I think a lot of the problem is – and I can understand this because I wouldn't believe it myself if I wasn't exposed to it with the marketing history – is that you keep thinking, well, that house is bigger. It should sell for more. I've had almost every realtor that when they list it, they want me to downplay the square footage because it's a disadvantage. And we've also found in the marketing history that of the people that are in this narrow price range that can afford to buy houses, they're, let's just say, from 1.5 to 2 million for round numbers. Most of those people, surprisingly, many of them pay cash, but most of those people are families. Very few of them are interested in an accessory dwelling unit. And so what that does is it puts me in a narrow funnel of very few buyers, and then the accessory dwelling unit that I thought was going to be an advantage, that might be if it was a little 500-square-foot studio, but it's not, it kicks a lot of the buyers that are in that narrow pool of higher-end buyers, it kicks them out of being interested. And that's the way it's been explained to me over the years that make this house difficult to market. So I've included the Lacamas Shores souls. I've done comps. I did my adjustments. I will admit I'm not very good at those adjustments. I had a little difficulty understanding some of the county's adjustments. Jason and I have missed each other, so I haven't really gotten those. I'll explain, but I think I made some sense of it, and I think the bottom line is they found about $91,000 of adjustments they agreed to. I felt there were some other ones, and I think there's at least 148, somewhere between 148 and 200,000 of adjustments. And I thought when the first letter went out where the county offered 1.9, they had not done those adjustments because they didn't have that information at that time. So I thought we were pretty close, because when you've got that many adjustments and you're only 200,000 different, then that, you know, that's pretty close, I think, in a negotiation. Anyway, so I was hopeful we could come to something. I will also say that I've got a couple of letters because I went through corrections last night because I think in the conversations I've had with Jason, and I think we've had several, some very brief, there were a lot of misunderstandings, and I caught something. $5 million. I wrote this letter dated March 15th, which was my submission. I really calculated it a little bit more refined to 1.644. And that's why when I was talking with Jason, I said, well, can we come to something near 1.7? Because 1.644 is pretty close to that. So that's kind of the summary of my letter. I want to go over some of the corrections so we don't take misunderstandings or misinformation forward. Does anybody have any questions on that so far?
No questions.
No questions.
My comparables on that nice chart they give you, all I can say is that that's a very difficult thing for somebody that doesn't do this on an everyday basis, and there's so many methodologies. So I'm not going to go over that detail. I just did the best I could with what I thought was appropriate. But the difficult thing is I'm going to sell this house. This is my retirement. It's all that's left at my retirement. And I want to sell it for as much as nobody wants to leave money on the table, but nobody can figure out what this house is worth. If they knew what it was worth, they would have priced it at that and whatnot. I can tell you that the price, you have to kind of let the realtors set the price. I mean, the last fella put, Steve Studley had about $50,000 in marketing, and I had put $100,000 in painting it and everything, and I was packed, and everything was all polished up, you know, to look good, even though there's some structural things that a potential buyer would want to have done, and some that a bank might require, whether, I don't know, that's a whole issue on those things, but I'm sorry, I've been sick in bed for 7 days, so I'm a little bit rambling. I'll get back on track, because I know time is of the essence. So anyway, I did my comps. It's kind of a crapshoot. I think that I come pretty close to the assessors if you take at least some of my adjustments, because there are some serious things with this house that I do expect will have to be done. If somebody does a bank loan, they're going to require that they redo all that sewage line. The driveway's cracked. I haven't been able to do maintenance. My gutters overflow in lots of places. I'm just living with these things because I don't have $27,000 to put new gutters on my house. And yes, it's unbelievable. You know, when you have a big house like this, everything multiplies. And apparently the value doesn't multiply because bigger homes are harder to sell. And apparently the ADU is turning into be a little bit of a disadvantage. So now I want to go to the two realtors' gutters and then the corrections. Steve Studley, he got a hold of me and he says, listen, you paint that house, and I had to redo the apartment flooring and paint-wise, so I sunk all this money into it and updated it. I got packed, and he had a listing, and unfortunately I thought it was for 12 months, but it was only 6 months. So he didn't have a lot of experience with the house, but I really thought we were going to sell. And he started it very high. To be honest with you, I didn't think we'd go on the market that high, but I couldn't talk him out of it. Well, I mean, I guess I have the right to say, do whatever I say, but when somebody's putting that kind of money up against it to try to market my property, it does have to be a team thing. So I asked him for two price reductions, but we still got no offer. Now, I go to the letter I submitted with Donna Roberts, and I'm not sure. I hope you got that letter. Pardon me?
What page number is it?
Well, I don't have mine page numbered. It was submitted in the prior... Well, no, I don't think it was because she updated it. Oh, here it is. It's right after my title page that says Realtor's Letter. Big title page that says Realtor's Letter. Well, that probably should be plural, but anyway, she had this house listed for two different one-year periods, and I think we had an extension or two because we thought we were close once to getting somebody to really come through with an offer. They'd seen it three times, but she's had over 24 months of marketing experience with this house. She also lives nearby. She's followed this house closely for at least 6 years, if not longer. She has a lot more experience with it. Her letter clearly states the only former offer attracted was a 1.1 million number of years ago. The only offer we've had that was supposed to go to closing was 1.1 million. Put a bookmark there. It's not me that backed out of that. And that she thinks that it's in the appeal that it should sell between 1.5. Actually, she kind of refers to one to 1.5 million and 1.5 to 2 million. And did you find her letter? Donna Roberts. It's an email that's printed, so it's got a little header at the top. And yeah. It's right after. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's about 5 pages from the back.
Yes.
So did everybody find that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So then I list deferred maintenance, and I took the estimates from the year before for all of the bids that I had gotten, if it was work that I couldn't do, because that's kind of what's happening now. And the only additional piece was that the painting came up, and he bid it at $82.50. I'm showing a grand total of $202,000. I'm not sure if that's where I did the just a standard inflation or if I didn't even do them, because those estimates are a year old, and I'm sure they're going to be higher. And there were a few things that I also didn't have on there. I've got some lights that are out. So now I want to go to, and I also included countywide, the very last two pages, documenting between 1 and 2 million, and it's basically showing how few homes, that there were zero records of homes that sold in the 1.5 to 2 million range. So it's like, yeah, these housings, are you showing that to me? Karen? No, that's not. There's just so few homes that sell in this price range that nobody really knows what it's worth. I mean, if the realtors all agreed, we'd know that they know what it was worth, but this isn't a 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch where there's hundreds of sales. So now the county's response to me, we tried to clear some of these up. I'm not sure that we did. He starts out by saying, I didn't have a submission, but I did on, it was submitted by 318. It was actually stamped by Allison, I believe, on 315. And the requested valuation, there was a difference there. I think, Jason was working off of 1.55, and I can understand why. I had that written down somewhere, but I had made it adjusted to 1.644 and 500. I think it's important to recognize that when you try to market a home over a 10-year period of time and it doesn't sell, that data, that is part of a piece of data that is specific to this house, and that needs to be weighed, into that plus all the realtor's comments and the buyer's comments as they've toured, as indicating that this is a niche. It's a niche market. It's a specialty house. In some ways, that's good, but most of the specialty features are getting kind of old and out of date. But the fact that it's so large, it's overbuilt for this neighborhood, and it's overbuilt for the size of ADU that buyers in that price range are looking for. And this is based on the feedback from the buyers and what the realtor's conclusions are after they've had some listing experience with it. You know, because Steve suddenly came in here, and let me tell you, I think he's good, but I don't think he had a read on the market. He thought what most people do originally. It's a big house. It's great. Let's just add this much on and see if we can sell it. And, to be really honest, I was getting ready to tell him we just really needed to take another $300,000 price reduction. But then I realized the listing was over before I thought it was going to be. So that's the first response. And then Jason, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, constructed a second response after he and I talked. I thought we were going to talk further, but we missed each other. And that one has the same date on it. It has 312, and his first response is 312, and so does the second one. But I would encourage you to look at it closely because the first one has 4 pages in it. The second one has 5 pages in it. And I believe the second one was actually submitted on 318. Perhaps it's a protocol of the county not to change the date up there, but I found it confusing. So real quickly, I got a few points to clarify there.
Let's wrap it up quickly.
That's what I'm trying to do. Absolutely.
Let me just point out to you, you would do yourself more service by providing less information and more focused.
I know, and it's really hard for me to do.
Let's hear what the county has to say.
Can I finish?
Only have 15 minutes for the hearing. You have another hearing in just a few minutes.
Okay, well, I just want to point out then at this point, we have about 8 errors and misunderstandings in the second response that Jason submitted. And then I realized last night, also he mentioned that my apartment has been rented and it's much harder to rent it. And so I haven't rented it for several years. So, and I submitted them in writing, but they told me I had to read them into the hearing minutes because no more submissions are allowed. Any questions?
No questions.
No. Well, I guess I have one. If we go forward, would I be negotiating with Karen or Jason?
It would be the county.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It would be the county as a whole. It's not, I don't make decisions for the county. I have a lead and a manager and a team that I would work with to get to the resolution.
Okay,
let's hear from the county.
Yes, I will make it quick, and I'll speak as clearly as I can. I am not a real estate agent or a broker. I have read the supply documentation, and I don't disagree with the provided information from the brokers. All of them, including the one that Karen just brought up, supports the value that I have concluded to. I'll point out that one of the letters she supplied from Steve Studley, CEO, licensed broker in Washington at Cascade Hassan Thoughtsbury International Realty. He states that the value as of January 31st, 2023 is approximately $2 million. The other brokers state the value is somewhere between $1.5 and $2 million. That is clear. The one sale that fell through, the details behind that were, it was a very complicated sale. It included a rental back. It had a bunch of stipulations in it that wouldn't make it an easy transaction for any potential buyer of the property. Other than that, I want to just point out that this particular property has been appealed multiple times since 2016. It has been brought to the State Board of Property Tax Appeals, and we have won multiple times. And at current, there is an open appeal at the State Board of Property Taxes. At the board that is pending a decision. I feel very confident in the value that we offered at $1.9 million. I feel very confident in that with the sales right in the neighborhood that are on the golf course and are as similar to the property as possible. And then I will, I'm sure you've read everything else. So I guess I just wanted to point out those simple facts and that my number includes you know, an approximately $90,000 worth of deferred maintenance. We did not include short-lived or long-lived items in that analysis. So, and I guess the only other thing that I wanted to point out is that Karen has repeatedly discussed a ballroom, a particular room that doesn't have much use within the house. That has been reviewed, and all the listings have never indicated that the house has a ballroom. It's always been indicated as an additional living space that's been furnished and decorated. Whether that's for stage or not, I can't answer that, but I can tell you that it's never been advertised as a ballroom. And the county will rest there.
Do I get to clarify a couple of things?
Briefly.
Yeah. Regarding Steve Studley's comment, his next price drop was at $2 million. Steve had always told me that this deferred maintenance would get settled once there was an offer, and that would then get deducted then, but he told me to wait. So Steve Studley saying that this is where we should start at the list price, and I think the evidence that he was just shooting numbers are a list price is not a market value, nor did it take into consideration any deferred maintenance. Also, I don't know what the big deal is about the ballroom. It's been labeled a ballroom living room on the thing. For some reason, in 2022, which is the year before this, the county took the rider off, which is why I had a 47% increase that year, which has still not been rolled back, which is why we're at the state level on that one. And it makes no sense because the value was close and I don't know too much about why they put that on or off. We would of course never market the house with a ballroom. Who wants to buy a house with a ballroom? So that's why they staged my room that I've never furnished. So I don't know what the big deal is about the ballroom. That's kind of silly. And the buyer that did fall through, I don't know what Jason was alluding to when he said it was a difficult buyer situation. I know that I'm very clear that the reason that fell through, it was not me rejecting the offer as was stated in some of the paperwork, was because 7 days before closing, the title clerk called us and said, there's no earnest money. That person never put in earnest money. My realtor never caught it. And that buyer had no money and it wouldn't even close. So it wasn't the terms. And when you leave a big house like this, most people need a little bit of time to move. Certainly
okay,
a single
woman
at age 70.
Let's wrap it up.
Sorry. Okay. Well, sorry. I don't mean to incur your questions with this time. What?
I don't have any other questions or comments.
John?
Yeah, I just have a kind of a clarification. You mentioned, Karen, that you were thinking in some kind of an agreement or something. You thought at about $1.7 million, and we have the assessor's number at $1.9 million. We're holding from the assessor, I guess it's $1.9 million. Had you thought you said something at $1.7 million versus $1.550 million that you were showing on the listing?
On the original application for this?
Yeah.
So specifically, what's your question again about those numbers?
I just wanted to know if you were holding, your petition estimated value at $1.550 million or at $1.7 million.
Well, my petition was originally that, but in trying to negotiate with the county, and because the original response said they had not received documentation, so I didn't think they'd considered the deferred maintenance at all. I felt that might be a happy medium where we could come to.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Jason, you had something?
All I was going to say is, based on all the information provided, the current status of the State Board of Tax Appeals, there's no justification for me to be able to go below 1.9.
Okay.
What would you need for that? I mean, what would create that?
Well, anything that would be market-based evidence to support that value.
Okay, I think we have enough information. Any final things that have to be said?
No. Not from the county.
No, I have nothing.
Okay, let's close the hearing. Thank you all.
Okay.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 779 for property ID 13097900. The property is owned by Jamie and Chris Trotter. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Jamie and Chris here for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury? Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Good. So we understand our property's increasing, which is, yay, it's a good thing. But the part that we want to talk about is that not all of our property is actually buildable. So throriout our property, we have a riparian habitat. It's a seasonal stream, I believe, classification that we've got. So taking out those 2 acres that are reserved for that riparian habitat, what we want to look at is our total value that you have us at for the land is $900,000. So when you look at that by acre, it's around $180,000 per acre. So what we'd love to do is take that new valuation and really just apply it to the 3 acres that are buildable. So that would bring our land valuation to $540,000 of buildable land and then keep the structure value where it is, which is great. And so taking into consideration that 3 acres, it would bring us our total to $1.5 million instead of the current where you have it, I believe, is like $1.8 million. And then we also have a appraisal that we had last year, and that really closely aligns to what I'm proposing here today. Based on the appraisal that was done last year, they came in at around $1.4 million. So that really jives with the new valuation that we're proposing at 1.5.
Jamie, the information, the appraisal information you gave us wasn't complete, and you, the information you did give us was on the cost approach, not on the sales approach.
Okay.
So what's the cost approach? If we look at an appraisal, we use the sales approach. Not what it would cost to rebuild your home, but what it would sell for.
Okay. I'm not sure what was submitted. It was the cost approach? Okay. It
needs to be the sales approach.
Gotcha.
And I didn't see any information here as far as a map or anything showing that area that is riparian and can't be.
Yeah, it's on the Clark County GIS website that has us under the habitat classification as seasonal stream.
Okay. That's something you need to submit with your appeal.
Okay.
We only can look at what you give us. We can't, we don't go and search websites and, you know, go into that kind of, you have to provide that as part of your appeal.
Okay. So provide like the picture of where it is.
Right. Now we need documentation for it. Yeah.
Okay.
And probably, so that, maybe that would have been addressed in the appraisal if we'd had the full appraisal. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we can look to see if that was included in there. I know we brought it up in the years past, we have to come at it every year as if, like, nothing's been submitted before.
Okay. And we don't have any access to anything you've given us previously. I don't even know, what was the date on this?
January of 2023.
Was the date of the appraisal?
Right.
Looks on. Does that... Yeah, he's gonna pop that on there. Okay. I don't have any other questions or comments.
No, I don't have any questions on it either.
Do you have the appraisal in front of you?
Yes.
I can pull it up if you can give me a moment. It's under a mortgage, I believe. No, it's just a portion of it.
Oh, okay, the full appraisal, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's the, not the full, this is what I sent to them. Full appraisal.
All right, that's all right. We have to move on, so.
No, that's fine. Okay, well, we appreciate your time, and thank you for the feedback.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 790 for property ID 43100000. And the property is owned by Aaron Von Reuter. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present from the appellant. The appellant submitted three comparable sales. Property ID 42420000 sold for $440,000 in February 2022. Property ID 42190000 sold for $470,000 in September 2021. And property ID 41590000 sold for $425,000 in September 2022. Since no one else is here, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 16th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 277 for property ID 54000000. And the property is owned by Young Glenn and To Juan. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll continue this without anyone in attendance. But according to WAC 458-14-146, the Board of Equalization must disqualify themselves from the hearing and appeal involving property owned by a member of the county legislative authority or a person related to them.
I disqualify myself and recuse myself
from this hearing.
The board cannot achieve a quorum due to WAC 458-14-146, so the board must sustain the assessor's determination. You have the right to appeal the board's action to the State Board of Tax Appeals when you receive your decision. I therefore am closing the hearing.